right, brethren, let's go back now to the second epistle of John. I just want to read the first three verses. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I've titled this, Love for the Truth's Sake. Love for the Truth's Sake. Now, let me draw your attention to what John says here concerning truth and love. He says of God's elect there in verse 1, whom I love in the truth. Speaking of God's elect, he said, whom I love in the truth. And then he says there in verse 1, this is true of all they that have known the truth. All who have known the truth love one another in the truth. All God's elect who've known the truth love one another in the truth. And then he says, verse 2, for the truth's sake. We all love in the truth for the truth's sake. And then he tells us, he ends it by saying that grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ His Son are in truth and love. He mentions truth and love here repeatedly. Repeatedly. All the elect of God love one another in the truth for the truth's sake because we're saved in truth and love. We love one another in the truth. We love one another for the truth's sake, and we do so because we're saved in truth and love. Now, the first thing I want to begin with is something I don't normally do. I want to jump down to verse 3, and I want to begin with this. This is his greeting, but in this greeting, we have the gospel. All God's elect are saved in truth and love. He says, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. God is truth. We saw in 1 John, he said God is light. That's the same as saying God is truth. He's light. In him is no darkness at all. And we also heard John say in the first epistle that God is love. And Christ, the Son of God, is God in human flesh. Whatever God the Father is, Christ the Son is. Christ is the truth. He said, I am the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Christ is love because God is love. And He's God. He's God in human flesh. Now, He tells us here, grace be with you, mercy and peace. Who's the source of all grace, all mercy, and all peace? Who is the source of it? Who works it in His people and for His people? It's from God the Father. It says it clearly there. From God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. God the Father elected His people by grace, apart from anything in us, and He did that in His Son. Doing so, God the Father had mercy on His elect. He withheld from us what we deserved, and He did this in His Son. In the surety from the foundation of the world. And then God sent Christ into this world, and God was in Christ reconciling the world of His elect unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us, because He made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And thereby God wrought peace for all His elect. All grace, all mercy, and all peace is from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. And He saved His elect. He did all this in Christ, in truth and love. Everything he did in truth and love. Why God would love me, I have no idea. It just is of God. Why he would love a sinner like me is entirely of God, apart from anything in me. And the same is true of you and all his elect. It's not of anything in us. It's simply of God. And that love is one place. It's in Christ only. We saw that in Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of God? And he said there's nothing that will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That's the only place God loves. It's in Christ. He loves those he put in Christ. He chose us in Christ. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, according as he chose us in him. And this is all of his love, free, unmerited. Love that's of the Father. And when he sent forth his Son, God did not love his people in lies and iniquity and unjustly. The Scripture says he's the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth without iniquity, just and right is he. We just sing, holy, holy, holy. We worship one God in three persons. That's why we sing, holy, holy, holy. He's the thrice holy God. That means whatever he does, he's going to do it in judgment. He's going to do it justly. It's going to be right. It's going to be done in truth. Scripture says all his works are done in truth. Now, you and I, who he came to save, were sinners. So if God's going to show us mercy, he's not going to just overlook the fact that we're sinners. He's not going to just sweep our sin under the rug and pretend it doesn't exist. The soul that sinneth must die. We have got to be dealt with in order for God to remain just. This is the whole issue. This is what God is declaring. He's showing us how he is righteous. That's the whole purpose of making this world. That's the whole purpose of sending forth his Son into this world, is to show God's character. Holy. Holy God, just and right, righteous. That's God. That's who he is. And so he sent his only Son into this world to be made flesh so he would actually, truly take the place of his people. He had to come and be made in our likeness so real that he could absolve our sins. And the way he did that was he came and was made flesh like unto his brethren. He came, the one who gave the law, came and made himself to be under the law. And he walked through this earth as the one man God looked to. The one man God looked to. He's the God man. God looked to him. I was just talking to Melinda about this the other day. He's God. He proved he was God. He showed several times he's God by the things he, miracles he wrought, and how when they came to arrest him, he announced who he was, I am, and when he did, they fell on the ground. But while he walked this earth, he made himself servant to the Father, just like a believer has to trust the Father. Christ made himself servant to the Father, trusting the Father for everything. That's why he said in John 6, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He was, as the servant of God, he wasn't saying, I'm going to draw him to me. He was saying, all the Father gives me will come to me. The Father's going to draw him to me. And he was trusting the Father to draw them to him as he walked this earth. He was all in all points depending upon the Father. And he goes to the cross. And he willingly submits himself to be the Lamb of God, to have the sin of God's people laid on him, to be made sin in the place of his people, and to suffer all the wrath of God in place of his people, so that then he gave up the Spirit, he gave up the Ghost, and he died and was put in a tomb. and he trusted the Father to raise him. He could raise himself, but he said, into thy hands commend I my spirit. He trusted the Father perfectly so that he is the perfect, faithful believer who fulfilled the law perfectly and then took the sin of his people and justified his people perfectly, and in all of that, trusted the Father perfectly and fulfilled all the law and honored God, exalted the Father to the highest. So do you think God the Father is going to look to me and you now when He sent His Son and His Son bore what He bore and fulfilled what He fulfilled in such perfection? Do you think He's going to look to you to do the work that's required to bring yourself to God? Of course not. You and I must cast our care on Christ. We must trust Him alone to bring us to the Father. But God the Father sent His Son and did this because He saves in truth. He saves in truth. He did it in judgment. He did it justly, righteously, without iniquity. He made mercy and truth kiss in harmony, so that His justice was not offended and His mercy was not offended. They both perfectly, fully intact, mercy and truth. And that's because He's a God of truth. That's how God loves. This love men are talking about where they say God loves everybody and He's got a plan for you, but the little sinner's got to let God do something. Let me tell you something. That love is completely foreign to this book right here. It's completely foreign to this book. They didn't get that out of this book. That's a man's own imagination twisting the Word of God to try to make it say what he wants it to say. The love of God is a holy love. And He saves in Christ, in judgment, in justice, in righteousness, in perfection. That's how He saves. And God didn't reveal the truth to us by lies either. Now that statement I just made is an absurd statement if you think about it. I shouldn't have to say God did not reveal the truth to us through the preaching of lies. That's just an absurd statement. But preaching is the one area where men think sinners can be brought to the truth through the preaching of a lie. They can't. And God doesn't bring them to the truth through the preaching of a lie. You think he would have sent His Son to uphold the truth and go to such lengths as to crucify His own Son in the place of His people and then save through lies that dishonor His Son? Of course not. He sent the gospel to us, and the preacher that Christ sent to us spoke the truth in love. He spoke the truth in love, that we might grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. The Holy Spirit of truth led us into all truth through the gospel of truth. This is who God is. Christ is indeed the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. Everything God did to save us, He did it in truth. In truth. So truth and love are of God. And truth and love, therefore, are inseparable. Wherever God has put love, when He's made a new heart in that child that He's made to be born again, that new nature, that new man in you is going to be created in truth and is going to be a lover of truth. And also, he's going to be created in love. He's going to have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. They can't be separated. Where you have the truth, you're going to have love. And where you have love, that's a true believer. True believer. So therefore, secondly now let's go back to verse 1. All God's elect love one another in the truth. In the truth. Verse 1, he says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Now, we don't know if John's writing to a particular elect woman and her children, or if he's writing to the church and calling the local church the elect lady and her children, those those that are members of that local church. It could be either way. But either way, he's writing to the elect. That's who he's writing to. That includes you and me sitting here today who are the elect of God. If you're the elect of God, he's talking to you. That's who he's writing to. So it really doesn't matter. But in the New Testament, believers are called the elect more than any other name, with one exception, and that's saints. They're called saints more often, but right behind that, they're called the elect. And that's fitting, because everybody that God elected in eternity, he sanctifies in time to the belief of the truth. Listen to this from 2 Thessalonians 2:13. You're very familiar with it. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. There's election. Through sanctification of the Spirit. That's how we're made saints. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's to the elect that John writes, and he says this, whom I love in the truth. God's elect love one another in the truth. And this is so of all his elect. He says, and not I only. John's not just saying, this is just me that loves this elect lady in the truth. He's saying, also all they that have known the truth. All who have known the truth, love in the truth. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that's begotten of him. We all love one another. All the elect do. But it's a narrow love. It's a love in the truth. It's a love in the truth. Notice it's not merely truth, but he says the truth. There's only one truth. There's only one truth. The truth is Christ Jesus, the Son of God. He is the truth. All the elect are made to know him when we're born of God. He's who we're brought to know, and he is the truth. Ephesians 4:21 says, if so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. We hear him, we're taught by him, and the truth we're taught is all wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. That verse 2 there where he says, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, that's Christ the truth. Christ the truth dwells in his people, and he shall be with his people forever, and we'll be with him forever. And all God's elect born of God know the truth of Christ. All who are born of God, taught of God, know the truth of Christ. Remember John said in 1 John chapter 2, he said, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You know all things. We know who Christ is. He's God in human flesh, so that he's a man, a real man, so that he took our place as our head and representative, and he's God. Eternal God, so that everything he accomplished is eternal. We know what he accomplished. He came forth, and by his blood, he redeemed his particular people, so that he's our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. And we know where he is now. He's risen, he's reigning, and he's ruling, bringing the gospel to each one he redeemed, and revealing the truth in us in love. That's what he's doing. We know the truth. We know the truth in love. And the truth also not only includes Christ, who is the truth, it's all the doctrine of Christ. It's all the doctrine that Christ himself teaches us in his word concerning how we're to conduct ourselves for his glory and the edification of his people. Christ taught us a lot. Doctrine means teaching. And Christ taught us how we're to walk in this world so as to honor him, and so as to be used of him for the edification of our brethren. And that's included. For instance, remember when the Apostle Peter, Paul was writing about him in Galatians, and Peter was sitting at that table eating with the Gentiles. And when the Jews walked up, Peter got up and left the table with the Gentiles and went over and sat at the table with the Jews. And Paul wrote and he said, "When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel." That's what he called that. He called it walking not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Why? Because here was Peter who lived as a Gentile, eating whatever Gentiles ate, and knowing that he's not saved by the works of the law, and yet when these Jews come up, he got up, went over there, and sat down with the Jews. And Paul said, and by that, you're compelling these Gentiles to live as do the Jews. You're telling the Gentiles that they'd be better off living like the Jews. He should have been doing just the opposite, telling the Jews they'd be better off living like the Gentiles. Because we're saved by grace through faith in Christ apart from our works. But you get what I'm saying? He didn't walk uprightly according to the truth. His conduct led believers in error. And so Paul said something about it. My point about that is, brethren, is that character and conduct matter. Character and conduct do matter. A preacher can speak the truth and be correct in his doctrine, what he preaches, and yet deny the doctrine of Christ by mistakenly leading sinners into a serious error, as Peter did. I just read to you. He said he walked not uprightly according to the gospel. And he didn't mean to do that. It was a mistake on Peter's part, but a preacher can do that. And he leads believers into error. Or he can be more nefarious about it and be after filthy lucre, after personal covetous gain, or after personal glory, or by sowing discord or something like that. And he can totally deny the gospel. He may be speaking the truth with his mouth. And that might be all men hear. But out of the pulpit by his conduct, totally denying the gospel of Christ. So if anyone comes doing that, brethren, denying the doctrine of Christ in word or deed, what are we supposed to do? That's not in truth, is it? We love in truth, don't we? And that's not in truth, is it? So what are we to do? Look at verse 7. Let's look down at verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. So he says, no, we're not to love one who's doing that. That's not in the truth. That's not in the truth. He's denying the gospel. Now, if it's a brother that you love, like Peter, you love him and correct him, and you know, but he's saying if there's somebody that's an antichrist, you don't bid him Godspeed. That's not in the truth. It's not in the truth. We love in the truth. Now, lastly, I want you to see this. God's elect love one another in the truth, for the truth's sake. For the truth's sake. Look there in verse 1. He says, the elder unto the elect, whom I love in the truth. Verse 2, for the truth's sake. Now you take a husband and a wife. They marry. And they vow to love one another for better or for worse. So that means, come what may, they're together. Now, if they love one another, if they really love one another, then nothing's going to separate them. Nothing's going to separate them because they love one another. They made a vow before God, so whatever the worst ends up being, they're going to stay together. Nothing's going to separate them. Believers have something even stronger. We have something even stronger. It's called the love of the truth. The love of the truth. It's supernatural. It's of God the Holy Spirit. It's created in us by God. And many waters cannot quench this love. It can't be quenched. It's of God. God sustains it. It can't be quenched. It's a love for the truth. We don't love our brother or our sister because they're necessarily lovable. In fact, a lot of time, we just aren't lovable. That's just the truth of it. Because we're sinners. And that's just how it is. But we love one another for the truth's sake. Listen to this. Go back to 1 John 4:10 and look at this. Isn't that how God loved us? Look at verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God. We weren't lovable, were we? We weren't loving Him. But He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, if He loved us after that manner, we ought also to love one another after that manner. We love one another for the truth's sake, not because somebody's lovable and treated me just like they ought to treat me. There can be a lot of times we're not going to be treated like we ought to be treated. There can be a lot of times I don't treat you like I ought to treat you. And that's how we ought to think about it. Not so much that brother not treating me like I ought to be treated. I don't treat you like you ought to be treated. That's how we're to look at these things. God's elect not only know the truth, we have to have the truth preached to us. We want to know more of the truth of Christ. We want to know more. You ever encountered a will worshiper and you start talking to him about the doctrine of election or the doctrine of predestination, or you talk to them about the doctrine of particular redemption, and they close up their ears and they say something like this: the thief on the cross didn't know that. I've heard that over and over. And be honest with you, that's just not a very good argument. It's not a very good argument. The thief on the cross had an unction from the Holy One and knew all things, the same as every elect child of God when we come to Christ. When the Comforter has come, Christ said, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He means this is what the Holy Spirit convinces all His people of when He brings you to faith in Christ. He convinces you of sin because you believe not on Christ. He convinces you of righteousness because Christ has gone to the Father and you see Him no more. This gospel is the righteousness of God, and therein the righteousness of God is revealed. And He reveals to you judgment is settled because the prince of this world is judged. And this every believer knows, brethren. Every believer knows. But the elect child of God's not running from the truth. We're not trying to see how little truth we can know and still be saved. We want to know more truth of Christ. When you love somebody, you started dating Rob. You want to know everything you could about him once you fell in love with him. And that's how it is. When you fall in love with somebody, you want to know all you can know about him. You don't want to, don't tell me anything about him. I don't want to know more about him. I want to know everything about him. More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. That's the believer's heart. And God's pleased to give that knowledge through the preaching of the gospel that glorifies Christ. That's how He's pleased to give it. And therefore, for the truth's sake, I must preach the gospel of Christ. For no other motive than for the truth's sake. That's it. Just for the truth's sake. Go to 1 Corinthians 9 and look at this. 1 Corinthians 9 and look at verse 19. Paul says, though I be free from all, yet I've made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do, why? For the gospel's sake. That's the only reason. I do it for the truth's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. That's the motive for all Christ's true preachers, is for the truth's sake. That's it. And then for the truth's sake, because we must have the gospel of Christ preached to us week in and week out, because we all must have it, and we all have to have each other to have it. Unless somebody here just going to volunteer to pawn everything you got and sell your property and foot the bill, we're going to all have to have each other to have the gospel. So, when I'm offended, what am I going to do? Forgive. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, for the truth's sake, has forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. There it is again. Walk in love for the truth's sake, for Christ's sake. So as God's elect, let me ask you this. You that are God's elect, you that know the truth and know what Christ has suffered for you, is there anything that your brother could do to hurt your feelings so much that you'd walk away from the gospel of Christ who suffered the cross for you? Is there anything that a brother could do to you short of denying Christ himself? Is there anything a brother could do that would be worth walking away from the gospel of Christ? Nothing. Not if you know the truth and love for the truth's sake. Nothing. Listen to this. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. You found the treasure in the field. That's what we found. It's like a merchant man, Christ said, seeking goodly pearls, and he's found one pearl of great price. And when he's found it, he sells all that he has and buys it. That's what we have when we have Christ and the gospel of Christ. We found the treasure. So we're willing to part with anything and everything so we can keep this treasure. Buy the truth and sell it not, Solomon said. So for the truth's sake, God's elect are willing to take the wrong. Somebody accuse you wrongly, so what? They could have got it right if they'd have just kept on accusing. They'd have hit it sooner or later. There's a lot they could accuse me of. We bear one another's burdens. And that's true love. That's the love of Christ. Go to Galatians 6. We do this for the truth's sake. Look at Galatians chapter 6. This is true love, brethren. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and that's what happens, isn't it? We just become overtaken in a fault. You don't mean to fall into a fault. You just get overtaken in a fault. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. That means bear one another's sins. Bear one another's offenses. Bear one another's shortcomings. and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's the love of the law of love. So fulfill the law of love. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, and that's what we do when we won't bear with our brethren and we won't forgive and we are so insistent, we're thinking ourselves something when we're nothing and we're deceiving ourselves. So for the truth's sake, there's something else. We stand up for brethren. We defend one another. We provide for one another. We do whatever's needed for one another. Because here's why. What we do to our brethren, we are doing to the truth himself. Go to Matthew 25. Whatever we do to our brother, we're doing to the truth himself. Matthew 25. And look at verse 34. Christ said on that day when he put the goats on his left hand and the sheep on his right hand, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You get what I'm saying? We do whatever is necessary to help one another, to provide for one another, to defend one another, to comfort one another. Because whatever we do to one another, we're doing it to the truth himself. And so for the truth's sake, we love one another in the truth. But as Christ taught us, 3 out of 4 kinds of hearers have not been born of the truth. 3 out of 4. The wayside hearer never hears anything. He just doesn't even make a profession. But then there's 2 other kinds that make a profession. There's the stony ground hearer. But here's the problem. He endures for a little while, but he doesn't have any root in himself. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, rather than defend his brethren and love and comfort and provide for brethren, for the truth's sake, he's offended. And then you have those that are the thorny ground hearers. They hear the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. 3 out of 4 kinds of hearers don't hear. They don't hear. But you who are born of the truth dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. And therefore you love in the truth. You love in the truth, and you love for the truth's sake, for Christ's sake, and therefore you walk in the truth. That means you continue in Christ, you continue in the doctrine of Christ, you continue under the gospel of Christ, you continue loving those Christ loved for Christ's sake, for the truth's sake. Look at verse 4. 2 John verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we received a commandment from the Father. You see there, the Father commanded that. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. He just told us what they are. Walk in the truth and walk in love. That's love. That's love. That's God-created love. To walk in the truth of Christ, do everything for the truth's sake. in love to you, brethren. That's love. And look what he says in verse 8 now. Look to yourselves, brethren, that we lose not those things we've gained, but that we receive a full reward, that we receive God the Father and God the Son. Abide in Him, is what he's saying. So here's what I want to end with. Brethren, love one another in the truth. Love one another in the truth. Whatever's not in the truth, that's we're not commanded to love outside of the truth. And when a brother or sister is not being lovable, don't act surprised. Don't be disappointed. They're just sinners like you are. But love them for the truth's sake. For the truth's sake. Take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and necessities and persecutions and in distresses for Christ's sake, for the truth's sake. Because when you're the weakest, that's when you're the strongest. And if you've never believed on the truth, if you've never cast all your care on the truth, I pray God give you grace right now to cast your care on Him. That's the only salvation there is, Christ the truth. Amen.